All right, welcome back. 239-1310, 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. In the state of Indiana, amendments to Indiana's Constitution can be proposed by the General Assembly in two consecutive sessions. They have the right to pass it by a majority vote. It doesn't even go to the governor for a signature. It then goes to the ballot. Their last legislative session, there was a constitutional amendment that was approved by a majority of the members of the General Assembly, both the Senate and the House, and it is under consideration again for the second year. If it passes, it goes to the ballot in the November 3rd or 4th election. The amendment is as follows. This is the operative section. That Article 1 of the Constitution of the State of Indiana is amended by adding a new section to read, Section 38, only a marriage between one man and one woman shall be valid or recognized in Indiana. And then sentence two, a legal status identical or substantially similar to that of marriage for unmarried individuals shall not be valid or recognized. That is the question that was initially considered about a week ago before the House Judiciary Committee, which is usually where constitutional amendments are decided. They had a hearing. Everybody had their say. And then the committee decided not to vote, which is usually code for we ain't got the votes to pass this thing. And then Speaker Brian Bosma exercised his authority under Indiana's Constitution and the rules of the House by moving it to another committee that deals with elections. I don't know what a constitutional amendment has to do with elections, but it went to the Elections Committee. They spent more time listening on 24 hours notice to people last night, and the vote was 9-4. All the Republicans voted yes, all the Democrats voted no, and in fact, it was only the Democrats that asked the questions. And there was one Democrat absent because he has an illness with a child in his family, and we wish his family the best. So that's where we are. 2 weeks ago, Eric Miller from Advance America was here with, and he's one of a number of coalitions who are in favor of House Joint Resolution 3, which is the constitutional amendment. Today we have the organization that is on the other side of this debate. They are called Freedom Indiana. They are a multi-partisan group, just as Advance America is a bipartisan or a multi-partisan group. In the House is Megan Robert Robertson and Angela Smith Jones of Freedom Indiana. Guys, welcome.
Thanks for having us on.
Thank you.
So what is Freedom Indiana?
Well, I'll just jump in here. Freedom Indiana is, we're a coalition that came together probably around I got started working on this in July, but we didn't announce until August. And we've got corporate supporters like Eli Lilly and Cummins. We've got folks like the Indy Chamber, which is part of Angela's role here. She's with the Indy Chamber. And many other people, many other organizations, including Indiana Equality and other national groups that are involved. And essentially, it's anybody who's against HJR 3, which used to be named HJR 6, for whatever reason. So we've got, we've had over a dozen mayors come out publicly against this thing and
That includes the mayor of Indianapolis.
Absolutely, Mayor Ballard. And Mayor Ballard's actually been pretty vocal on this even from before. Mm-hmm. But once we got the coalition started, he was excited to get involved in, and so were a lot of other mayors across the state.
In terms of this battle, and as we talk in Virginia, which has, I believe, an argument over a constitutional amendment regarding how Virginians define marriage. The Attorney General of Virginia says, hey, I am not even going to try to defend this in federal court. One of the arguments that is now being made is there will be litigation. Even if this is approved by the legislature and starts the ballot process, there will be litigation, and that this could cost a lot of money. There was a fiscal impact statement that is required by the legislature on all pieces of legislation, and I'm looking at it, and it says that there's no fiscal impact on the marriage amendment, and I can't understand it. Somebody going to sue somebody, and it seems to me that's a fiscal impact. And Angela Smith Jones, is that one of the, I think that's one of the arguments that Freedom Indiana is making, that this is going to use up some tax resources that could be put to better use.
Well, absolutely. And on behalf of the Indy Chamber and Freedom Indiana, we are concerned that many resources, up to the multis of millions of dollars, will come into our state for this effort rather than helping to educate and retrain the citizens of Indiana to fill the jobs that are out there that these great companies have positions for. And we just need additional training for our current citizens. So that's going to be a challenge, diverting the funds to other resources.
The Indianapolis Chamber made its decision to be against this resolution based upon talking to chamber members. And yes. Was that just the big companies who are chamber members saying, hey, we need to be on this side? Or did it also, because the chamber is not just Lilly and Cummins and the big banks, whatever. There's a lot of small businesses as well.
What it is we have a process where mm-hmm. we invited all of our council and committee members to a half-day event where we discussed what are our top legislative issues. And then once we discussed our top legislative issues, we decided where we wanted to be on those issues. Mm-hmm. So on that day, it was determined that, one, the most important issue was defeating this HJR 3 amendment and taking a strong position against that.
One of the concerns in the original language of the amendment that was adopted last year and as the debate started this year was sentence 2 that says a legal status identical or substantially similar to that of marriage for unmarried individuals shall not be valid or recognized. There are a number of businesses, and in the spirit of full disclosure, including this business, Radio One, that offers insurance and other benefits to unmarried couples, and not necessarily same-sex couples, but opposite-sex couples who are unmarried but in a relationship. And that is a benefit that this company and others apply. And the way I read that second sentence, it was like you can't do any kind of legal status that has anything that you would provide a married couple to unmarried individuals. Then somebody came up with, well, we got another law here that would be what the legislature intends. I'd never heard of anything like that. What is the chamber's position on this little companion thing, House 1153, that spends 4 pages to define one sentence?
That is extremely challenging, and it was testified to yesterday by Indiana University that is so vaguely written that the impact of that is only going to be negative. As you mentioned, for both hetero and homosexual couples that are residing together, married or civil union or otherwise, and that sends a negative message.
There's some other concern in the second sentence because as individuals get older, and become widowed or their spouse passes away. And, you know, sometimes love takes many forms and, you know, the widower may meet a nice lady or the widow might meet a nice gentleman and they decide to hang together and live in the same household. They don't go and bother to get married, but it seems to me those kind of things are civil unions and those benefits ought to accrue to those relationships among seniors. But this could be outlawed under this amendment. Yes. And put seniors at risk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that an issue that Freedom Indiana should be talking about more?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, this is Megan. I think there are a lot of things that we could be discussing. And you know, really, my point is that if you're against HR 3, you're with us. And that doesn't exclude anybody. So if that's how seniors want to be against it, then I'm for that. And on the other side of it, I mean, you know, there are a lot of feelings on this, a lot of passionate feelings on both sides of this issue. And one thing that's come up a lot are people asking, well, is Freedom Indiana taking a position on gay marriage? And we're not.
You're not.
We're not. There are people in our coalition who support gay marriage, and you know, I wouldn't try to say anything different. But there are also folks in our coalition who don't support gay marriage, but simply don't think that there should be a constitutional amendment, or maybe they support civil unions. and think that this would be bad for our state. But you know, when you have Mayor John Casas, he's an evangelical Christian from Valparaiso, Indiana. Used to go to his church, very conservative church, because that's where I'm from. And, you know, he's a conservative evangelical. He's not in favor of gay marriage, but he thinks that this is bad for his city, trying to attract jobs, trying to attract economic development. And he thinks it's overreaching by the legislature into people's everyday lives.
So when your opponents were here 2 weeks ago, and Eric Miller, Megan Robertson sat in the seat that you're sitting now, that's the lead seat, and said that what the opponents of this were doing was pushing, in Eric's direct quote, was the homosexual agenda, end of quote. Is that what y'all are doing?
Well, I guess I don't know what homosexual agenda really means. You know, it's funny. We were having this discussion with a couple of folks from the campaign, and we're joking about how what is this agenda? You know, it's folks living together, figuring out who takes out the dog, who's going to help fold the laundry. I mean, what I guess I don't see what's so radical about two people who are, living a life together and wanting to do that without interference from the government. I guess I'm kind of flabbergasted by it.
We're with Angela Smith-Jones and of the Indianapolis Chamber of Commerce, which is one of the corporate supporters of Freedom Indiana and one of the corporate entities that are against the Indiana Marriage Amendment. Megan Robertson is the executive director of Freedom Indiana. The states that have had these civic discussions over similar amendments – the one community that has been very divided on this issue has been the African-American community that occurred in the California referendum, that occurred in the Maryland referendum last November. A couple of questions. What sense are you given? Because as I get the sense, and I asked Eric Miller and he danced all around the question, I'm going to ask you, Megan Robertson, and then we'll see whether you dance all around the question. Nobody seems to know how African-American likely or registered voters in this state feel on this issue. First of all, why is that? Why is it we're hearing about how a lot of other people feel, but we're not hearing how this community feels about it?
Well, I guess I would say two things. One, I don't necessarily accept the premise that the one community that's been divided on this issue is the African American community. I think the actual way to gauge what a person's going to think on this issue isn't age. I don't think it's race. I don't think it's what party you belong to. I think it really has to do with whether or not you have interaction with a gay person, whether you have a family member or a coworker. There are all of those groups are divided. We have over 300 clergy members who have come out against HCR3. You also have Eric Miller's group, who obviously have a lot of pastors who are against it as well, who are on the other side of the issue. I think you see it in the Republican Party. I think you see it in age groups. So I guess I don't accept that's the dividing line. But I also think, you're more of an expert on this than me, Amos, but I'm not sure that there's there's one person or even 10 people who are the authority for the African-American community. I think you see a lot of leaders stepping up and making their opinion known, but I don't think anybody is professing to speak for an entire group of people. Just like, I'm not having, three older folks saying I speak for all seniors. They're just speaking for themselves. And I think that there are people that are standing up.
When we had this discussion, Angela Smith-Jones, on this issue, just with me in the audience before the end of the year, there were callers who felt that a private business should not offer benefits to unmarried couples. What's your reaction to that? You're with the group that represents private businesses, many of whom offer these benefits.
Well, I believe, as do our members, that it would be up to the individual privately owned business's decision to offer benefits or not.
And it shouldn't be the government telling them one way or the other.
Exactly. It should be the own individual business owner's decision. Mm-hmm. On whether to extend the benefits.
Angela, you know, there's a lot of people listening that feel very passionately in favor of this amendment. Mm-hmm. How would you tell them to maybe keep an open mind?
That, well, one thing is where we stand is this being a constitutional amendment impacts our state negatively and actually detracting young, sharp talent from staying in our state and coming to our state. Mm-hmm. That also impacts businesses' growth, which in the end impacts our solid economic standing within the nation and our credit rating. So if we don't have a strong, solid economic environment in our state, we all suffer. All of that goes into our public schools. It goes, be it K-12 or higher ed, it goes into transportation. It impacts everything we do. So that's why it really needs to be the individual business's decision on whether to offer the benefits. And we want strong, sharp talent staying in Indiana, and we want strong, sharp talent coming to Indiana.
239-1310, 239-1310 is after news name. We have the folks from Freedom Indiana. They are in the house. You can get in touch with the conversation three ways. By phone, 239-1310, 239-1310, or you can send me an email at praiseindy.com, or you can send me a text message at 37890, keyword Amos. That's keyword Amos, A-M-O-S. Spell it right, at 37890, 37890. And remember, this is a G-rated program. There are young people listening, and let's keep this on a positive plane. Let me go to William. Hi there.
How you doing, there, Mr. Amos Brown?
Fine.
I just wanted to address your guests, mm-hmm. and ask them, since this is only titled same-sex marriage, I was just wondering, why does it stop and refer as the sex of the different entities involved, the dogs, the cats, and the young people, for their age limit, you want to be placed on the same-sex thing. And another thing I wanted to ask her is, she indicated that all of the person that is practicing same-sex is a very intelligent people. And that is very not true, you know. Did you have any figures, any data on just how many people that will be involved in this thing have a higher education degree?
Well, let me go back a second, William, because I think Megan Robertson said a few minutes ago that Freedom Indiana is not advocating for same-sex marriage. Is that what you said?
I mean, yeah, we're simply folks that are against this amendment, whether it's because you think, you shouldn't write discrimination into the Constitution, or because you think that we have bigger issues to deal with, or because you are supportive of some kind of legal recognition, whether it's a civil union or domestic partnership benefits. So, there are a lot of reasons to be against this amendment, and we're just trying to bring everybody together.
Just wondering, though, if you are speaking of the intelligent talent that come into Indiana, that will also defer some of the people that will come in, because they will think that they will one way or the other, in the same regard.
Mm-hmm. All right. You made some good points, my brother. Let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
I was just kind of listening to our conversation, and maybe I might not have the right words, but it seemed like it was more about the money and everything that, they are probably worried about what these, people of different type of relationships, whether the same-sex marriages and the, homosexual community will bring to Indianapolis. It seemed like they're more worried about that money and everything, which I do kind of understand. But it kind of seems like once they, if they amend this and they, make this a law and everything where, they accept marriages, it seems like they'll be able to start lording all those relationships on people that actually really are standing up for, just a marriage, traditional marriage of a man and woman, mm-hmm. and then just different things that we can't say in our churches and stuff like that to preach the truth of the Word of God.
Let me ask a question, Anonymous. Do you believe this amendment that is being discussed allows same-sex marriage and would restrict what can be said in the church?
Well, I'm trying to really understand exactly what the amendment is for, but what I think
ma'am, can I read it to you?
Vote.
Can I read you what the amendment says?
Please.
Okay.
Yes.
The amendment says Section 2, Article 1 of the Constitution of the State of Indiana is amended by adding a new section to read as follows. Section 38. Only a marriage between one man and one woman shall be valid or recognized as a marriage in Indiana. A legal status identical or substantially similar to that of marriage for unmarried individuals shall not be valid or recognized. That is the amendment.
Okay, and I think that's just stand.
You think that's what?
I think that that amendment should stand because it's, you know, it's not really agreeing with having the same-sex marriages.
Okay, but you Am notice right? That's your interpretation. That's how I read the amendment. The amendment says nothing about what a church can say in the church because there's another amendment called the First Amendment of the United States Constitution that says Congress shall make no law dealing with religion.
Okay, well, that's good too, and that gives me an understanding of that because you know, it's kind of seem like you know where we're maybe getting mixed up and everything that you know once if the same sex marriages go through and you know and they make it a law or whatever, then you know we'll have to you know abide by you know their rules and everything because of the hate crimes or whatever that you know if we spoke out against that,
right.
And you know, and told them that it was still not it's against God, and you can't.
All right, I think Megan Robertson wants to add something.
I did. First off, I just want to. A lot of people don't know this, but in Indiana, there is already a law that says that marriage here is between one man and one woman. So that's the law, and that's not changing. All we're saying is we already have a law. So do we need to add it into our state constitution? Is that really necessary? And if we're going to start taking every law we've got and adding it to the Constitution, is this the first one we should start with? Or should we maybe start with, you know, the way we punish criminals and things of that nature? So I just wanted to throw that in. But also, you know, the thing to remember is we don't have a problem right now. If you look around, you know, if your pastor's saying whatever they want to right now, then they're probably okay, and we don't need an amendment. The same thing goes for, I mean, I don't know if you have some, you know, large amount of gay folks, you know, trying to get married or trying to force their opinion on everybody around them, but that's not happening now. So if you're comfortable with where we are right now, then we don't need an amendment to our state constitution.
I appreciate the call. 239-1310, 239-1310. Let me go to Jeremy. Hi there.
Hello, Mr. Brown. Hello to you, guests.
Hi.
First off, I just want to say, personally, if it does get on the ballot, I will vote no, because the law, it doesn't make any sense socially or economically. Now, I called when Mr. Miller was on there and asked him, well, what about a church's right to say no, whether or not if a gay couple, say, wanted to have a ceremony with a religious, with any type of religious feeling to it? And he said that, oh, it would take away the church's right to say no or say yes or whatever. Now, I just want to know where you guys are against this law. Where do you fall on that? Well, church is right to say yes or no if a gay couple, per se, wants a religious ceremony with their wedding.
That's a great question.
It is. This is Angela. And I would say, really referring back to what Amos said earlier, because of what we have in our United States Constitution, that the churches still have the right to make the decision and determination as they do, be it a heterosexual couple who requests to be married in a church, that church denomination and that lead pastor have the right and the determination to say, we will not have the marital ceremony in our facility.
Jeremy,
okay.
My understanding of Indiana law, and it may be the law in all of the other states, is that a church, a pastor, has the right not to marry any couple, any male-female couple in their church, period.
Right.
I don't know whether that's the law or the custom, but there's no law that I have ever heard of that says all churches must marry the man and the woman that shows up at the door of the church with a license to be married in a church. A pastor has the right, or the body of that church has the right in their rules to say, this is how we gonna handle marriages in our church.
Right, exactly. And one more thing. A lot of people want to know where black people belong on this, or belong in this debate.
Yeah.
The thing is, they're thinking, oh, it's just a gay thing, and oh, what they learned in Sunday school. Okay, remember that, but also remember, it's also money involved, and of course, the common law aspect. If you want to get more black people to hear your aspect, just a piece of advice for you, influence or put more of an emphasis on the common law thing. That's what we do, and they're trying to get rid of that.
Ooh, you done raised a whole nother, see, in Indy, you done raised a whole nother kettle of fish, because what, if Angelina and Brad lived in Indiana, oh, Lord, they would be.
Exactly. And you know what, common law couples, they love each other just as much as married couples.
And there's and even though we don't have common law in Indiana, there's a lot of common law men and women, you know, together with kids in our community.
Right, exactly. And one more thing, and I'm done. Mm-hmm. It's just I really enjoy how people are getting involved from the grassroots in changing the legislative process. Black people, we can learn a lot from the gay people. Let's just be real. And if we need to change things, you got to get involved and get informed and work from the ground up and go through the legislative process.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you. 239-1310, 239-1310 is After News with Amos. We're hearing from the other side of the issue of marriage in Indiana, the folks from Freedom Indiana, 239-1310, 239-1310, or send us an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 37890 tomorrow with my Friday friend. He's going to be confronted with living media history tomorrow, Chris, live in studio. The original Hoosier Millionaires, Barbara Hobbs in studio, Tony Lamont in studio, and Mark Patrick in studio tomorrow, because the Hoosier Millionaire is coming back. Somebody going to be a millionaire. Not tomorrow, but we'll tell you all about that. And maybe Mark Patrick will give me tickets to go see his son play Major League Baseball somewhere. It's After News with Amos After These. Among our guests next week will be Superintendent of IPS, Dr. Louis Farabee. We'll also on Wednesday have reaction to the President's State of the Union speech, which is Tuesday night, 9 o'clock, every channel, except E. E will have Justin Bieber all day, every day. 239-1310. I saw this picture of Justin Bieber in a jumpsuit. I'm not even going to go there because he thinks he's black. 239-1310. Let's go with some more serious issues in our state. 239-1310. Back to the phones. And Samuel, hi there.
Yeah, doing good. You?
I'm fine. What's up?
Yeah, I just got in on this last thing about this. Is that gay marriage? Man and man.
No, it's a constitutional amendment that would say marriage in Indiana shall be between one man and one woman.
Yeah, I agree. That's according to the word of God. In Romans, could I read one verse in Romans chapter 1?
Well, not necessarily. Let me ask a question. We're talking about a law or a constitution of civil government, and nowhere in any constitution, the state constitution, the federal constitution, do they quote scripture. Doesn't the government supposed to be secular and the church is where the religion is?
No, Paul told the church of Rome, said, let every man be a liar, let the word of God be true. This is what the government have done us now. Martin Luther King fighted for civil rights, but it was not for gay rights. He fighted against the government. He was against gay rights. He was against the army. He was against Kennedy and Johnson. He fighted for this. I wish I could read a little something here about Martin Luther King.
Well, that's not what we're here about. We're here to talk about this amendment, and you've done a very, very good job expressing your opinion. I'm going to move on to Bill at 239-1310. Hi, Bill.
Yeah, hi, Amos.
Hi.
I heard your guest say that bright and smart people are leaving the state and they're no longer here and they won't come here. Well, my position on that is I went to grade school, high school, and college with some very bright, smart, intelligent people, and they weren't gay, they weren't lesbian, and businesses also are taking that position. But I don't think that's true, because we're always going to have people. We've had them here, and they're Hoosiers. They're going to be here, so that one's out the window. But my question is this: for your guests, it's it's in the law. The law is already there. The amendment will just solidify the law. Well, is your goal, tell me if I'm not, if it's not true. I think your goal is to one, eventually hope that a gay or lesbian judge is in office and leans in your favor and they somehow change the law. That's eventually your goal that you're working on.
Is that the goal?
That is not the goal. Our goal is just simply to stop this from going in the Constitution because, first off, this doesn't belong in the Constitution. The Constitution is supposed to be something that brings us together as Hoosiers, not something that divides us. And the Constitution is made to protect people, not to exclude people. And, you know, I just want to address it because a lot of people have brought it up in the calls that we're not saying that all intelligent people are gay or that all intelligent people agree with homosexuality or any of that. But what we are saying is we need as many good, smart people in this state as we can get. And there are people that it will be a deterrent for them to come to our state and work and pay taxes that pay for all the things that we all need in our state. So we just want to make sure that we're a place that welcomes people regardless. And we're known for Hoosier hospitality. That's what we're all about here in Indiana, being nice to people, treating everybody fairly. And this amendment really runs contrary to that. It says some people aren't welcome here. And whether those are people that you personally agree with or not, there's no reason they shouldn't be welcome here. We shouldn't tell any group that they're not welcome here as long as they're going to be good people and you know, be folks that contribute to our state.
All right, let me move on to Keith at 239-1310. Hi there.
How you doing?
I'm fine.
My comment was about that amendment. I don't actually agree with the amendment. Like the lady in y'all in the studio said, it's already in our law, so why make it an amendment? You know what I mean? We could better use those trying to get amended, these guys that's out of work with short criminal histories and stuff like that. So they not on our streets, and we keeping our streets more intact and keeping these people working out here and our economy boosting. Yeah, I mean, it should be your choice who your partner is, of course, but as law, they don't recognize the marriage, and that's going far enough. To say that we don't welcome them here, that would be just, you know what I mean, un-American.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you. Let me go to Tony at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yes, I just want to comment on what's going on. I mean, a lot of times, you know, this country sometimes, you know, it doesn't want to make up its mind. I mean, one minute it's in God we trust, you know, the next minute, you know, it's something else different. You know, so when a tragedy happens, then all of a sudden, you know, it's time to trust in God, you know, and try to govern our lives accordingly. But then, you know, when there's no tragedy, then all of a sudden, you know, now everybody want to try to make your own laws to fit your own rules, to fit your own lifestyle or whatever. And what I want to say, I just commend this state for standing against the marital laws that would go, you know, that as far as gay rights and all this kind of stuff. I mean, I don't think any law should be based on a person's sexual orientation. You know, pretty soon you're going to start having special laws for people who are molesters and all this kind of stuff. You know, so I'm totally against it. I think that, you know, this state is a good state by standing up against trying to make special laws for people who choose to have certain partners, you know. So I'm just totally against it.
All right, so Tony, let me ask a question. So companies like Eli Lilly and Cummins and the universities that have laws that say that a man and a woman, and let's say the woman is the employee of the company and her boyfriend is not, but the boyfriend can be carrying on the insurance of that female employee, and the boyfriend and the girlfriend are in a relationship. You're saying that company should not be allowed to offer those benefits?
I think that that's really more so the company's, you know, preference. But what I'm concerned about.
No, but the reason I ask that is this amendment, some believe, would outlaw the company providing those benefits to the unmarried male-female couple.
Well, Well, what I'm thinking you're talking about as far as the gay people getting married.
No, that's not what the amendment says. The second sentence of the amendment says a legal status identical or substantially similar to that of marriage for unmarried individuals shall not be valid or recognized.
Well, let me say this to you, Amos.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime we begin to amend laws that will be contrary to God's word, we need to understand that we're going to be held accountable for stuff like that. And I know, you know, there's a separation between church and state and all this, but, you know, our forefathers, when they founded this country, they did acknowledge the fact that there is a supreme authority over us, and that is the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something, Amos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we say this word, terrorism, you know, all these kind of words, kind of frankly, we talk about poverty, we talk about unemployment, we talk about a lot of different things. I'm going to tell you something. God is not going to honor a country who don't honor him. And when you start making special amendments and laws that is directly contrary to the word of God, then you're going to find out that a lot of these problems are happening directly because of the laws and amendments that this country is starting to become accustomed to. You know, everybody wants to talk about, this secular this secular that, and
mm-hmm.
You know, all it is really anti-God when you really want to put it under another show. That's all it really is.
All right, Tony, I need to move on. You made some great points. Welcome back anytime. Let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi. My concern is the children, the confusion that goes in the children's mind. You know, I'm with the guy that just spoke. And when it all comes down, we'll see a lot of people walking around. I love everybody, but I just would the children would get confused. Well, I could be with this one, I could be with that one. And God didn't make it like that.
All right, so are you then saying that the government should pass a law that says that only married couples shall adopt children?
Yes. The children, even just besides adoption, just to watch the process as it grows and moves forward, and if in case it does, and to see men to men and women to women walking and doing that. And like I said, I love everybody, but the children, what's the children? What's going in the hearts of the children? What's the nation going to become after all this law is, after this, if this is passed down?
And now you raised an interesting point. I appreciate it, Anonymous. So does that mean if I look at the second sentence of this amendment that says a legal status identical or substantially similar to that of marriage for unmarried individuals shall not be valid or recognized, and if the previous caller, you know, her belief is that it's all about the children, then that would mean that this constitutional amendment would prohibit adoption by persons other than married couples?
Sorry, but I just, you know,
it's just. Like I said, I wanted to ask our panel about that. I understand where you're coming from on that, but Angela and Megan, could that mean that? Because a constitution is supposed to be the bedrock law of a state. And it used to be you could only adopt if you were married. That used to be what the rule was. So I'm looking at this amendment could stop adoptions by any couple other than a married couple. If you're not married, you can't adopt. That's how I would read it. And I realize I'm just an honorary lawyer, but that's how, if I went to Harvard, that's how I would interpret it. 239-1310, let me go to Reverend Ajabu right quick. Hi there.
Hey, Amos, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Hello?
I'm fine.
Good. First of all, let me say that I am for the amendment. And also let me state that there are several people in my family that are gay. Let me say that I love them no matter what, even though I don't support a gay lifestyle. The question for me is, how do we get what you do in your bedroom, how does that get into the public discourse? Why would someone want to come out in the public and talk about what they're doing in their bedroom. I don't care if you're gay, heterosexual, or doing something else with a consenting adult.
So if I get that. So if I accept that premise that WISE is coming out, and we already have a law in Indiana that prohibits that defines what marriage is, a man and a woman. Why do we need an amendment?
My thing is, how does it even get into the public discourse? Why are people wanting to make public their private business? It don't make any sense to me.
Well, the Freedom Indiana,
you don't tell your business, then nobody can make a law or be talking about an amendment to a law because they don't know your business. Why are you telling your business?
All right, I appreciate your call. Let me move to Richard at 239-1310. Hi, Richard.
Hey, Amos.
Hi.
I just want to comment on what the young lady said, the caller before.
Mm-hmm.
She was talking about them being able to adopt. I don't feel that they should be able to adopt because two men cannot create, two women cannot create. We were put on this earth for man and woman to be married and to produce children. Mm-hmm. So I feel like as if they're adopting our children, then they're throwing their way of life on a child and forcing a child to come up in the household according to their standards and not what God sent for.
All right, well, let me ask the reverse question. So should an unmarried couple, unmarried male, female, be allowed to adopt?
I don't think so. I don't believe so because children come from marriage. So if you're not married, then I don't think you're entitled to that right to adopt a child.
So only a married couple should adopt, in your view?
Yeah, in my view.
So that means the laws that currently exist in Indiana should be changed?
I would say that's kind of tricky, Amos.
No, it's not tricky. This is as clear as day. I asked a very simple question. I understand your position on same-sex couples adopting. I understand that and respect that. I then took it to the next step on unmarried opposite-sex couples. You said they should not be allowed to adopt.
If a man and woman is living in a household and they're not married, no, they should not be allowed to adopt.
And so by definition, that would limit adoptions only to married couples.
Yeah.
Male, female.
Yeah, I stand on that.
Okay. I just want to be clear to everybody. I appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310. Let me go to Joyce. Hi, Joyce.
Yes, this is Joyce. And I just wanted to make a comment. Everyone seems to forget that there was a law at one time where blacks and white could not marry. But they did away with the law, and blacks and white have civil unions. They didn't necessarily marry in the church. They only answered to God because they didn't marry in the church, and if you were same-sex, you're the one that has to answer. We are making judgment on other people, and it's not for us to judge.
I appreciate the call. Thank you. 239-1310. Thank you. 239-1310. 239-1310's afternoon's name is Megan Robertson and Angela Smith-Jones. As you listen to the callers in a cross section, maybe not a representative cross section, but still a cross section of viewpoints of this community, Angela, is this an uphill battle for Freedom Indiana to? Because there were some things that you were hearing, some of the reaction that you all feel very strongly, some of those views, while you respect them, are not necessarily what you all are advocating and talking about.
I'm sorry, I missed your question.
There's a lot of reaction when people are talking about adoption, right. People are talking about kids, and Freedom's position is this is not about who should marry. This is about not should not be in the Constitution. We already had, there's already protections protecting what that marriage is, a man and a woman.
Right. So to answer your question, there are two battles. So the first battle is addressing the legislature and hopefully getting them to understand exactly what we've been discussing,
mm-hmm.
that because of what is being proposed as this constitutional amendment is so broad and so vague, it impacts more people and it is broader than what the current statute is, which is marriages between one man and one woman. and by the callers calling in, you're right, there would be additional education required for our entire state and community. And as one of the callers had mentioned, and as was stated yesterday during testimony, there are better ways to spend our time and money rather than spending it on discussing and explaining this, which is already clearly defined in the statute. Instead, we can take this money to educate our state.
All right, 239-1310, 239-1310's Afternoons with Amos. I got a couple of text messages. One said, Coretta Scott King supported gay rights, which is true. 239-1310, 239-1310, we'll take a break. More of your views. The folks from Freedom, Indiana are here. It is the Marriage Amendment, House Joint Resolution number 3. The text of the amendment is real simple. Only a marriage between one man and one woman shall be valid or recognized as a marriage in Indiana. A legal status identical or substantially similar to that of marriage for unmarried individuals shall not be valid or recognized. And I think a lot of people still don't understand what that first sentence is. Real simple. Anybody can understand. Stevie Wonder can understand it. If Ray Charles were around, he'd understand the first sentence. The second sentence, nobody understands that. Because we figured out this affects adoption. It affects senior men and women maybe living together. They haven't gone to church yet and got married. That could affect them. I'm just talking about men and women. We ain't dealing with all that other stuff. Anyway, how do you feel about all this? Afternoons with Amos after these. 239-1310, 239-1310. I just now noticed, I got a lot of stuff on Twitter too as well. At Amos WTLC India. See, on Twitter, Dallas says, yeah. Oh, he went all caps on me too. Yes, I say children should be adopted by married couples, man and woman, not the same sex. I am for the amendment. Denise, I'm so glad all your callers follow the Bible to the T. They are perfect Christians. Not all Americans believe in the Bible. And then commenting on another caller, this caller, well, two women can't make a baby either. Ugh, this is difficult to listen to. Then someone else, Yaya, says Hoosiers don't understand the slippery slope this amendment puts Indiana in. Stop legislating based on religious beliefs. Indiana is sitting on the wrong side of this issue and will lose future business to the state. That's just some of the views on our Twitter feed at Amos WTLC Indy, or you can send me a text message. Text Amos to 37890, 37890, or send me an email at praiseindy.com, or call at 239-1310. The callers are lined up like folks were on the unplowed Meridian Street the other week. Let me go to Reverend Phillips. Reverend, you got about a minute.
Okay, how you doing, Amos?
You got to come with it quick.
Okay. I got a letter from the senator office of Senator Donnelly, and this letter was dated.
Well, wait a minute. It sounds like a letter from Senator Donnelly has nothing to do with us talking about the constitutional amendment on marriage in Indiana. Does it?
Oh, yeah. It said, and I sent you a copy of it in the mail.
But does the letter have anything to do with Indiana's marriage amendment? Yes or no?
Yeah, because, yes, it does. It says, they were writing to me. They said that the religion is a belief of a freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But he talking about that, When I got this letter,
right.
I read it, and
but it Reverend, I love you dearly, but I don't think I'm gonna get like the legislature. I don't think right now this conversation is germane to what we're talking about, which is the Indiana Marriage Amendment. That allowed me to move on to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there. We want everybody to stay germane on the topic today. That's a legislative word. Hi, Anonymous.
Okay, what I'm saying is, sometimes people are couples, but they didn't marry because of some retirement check that one of them got. And if you get married, you'll lose the check. But they still want to be a couple and adopt a child.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's the part about that.
Okay, good
but
point.
Then on that other thing with the gay thing,
mm-hmm.
Can we talk about that too?
Yep, that's germane.
Okay, with the gay thing. Two men or two women cannot make a baby. Have they ever done a survey with them letting the men adopt children.
I think that is the law right now in Indiana. That can occur.
So that they can explain how that child was raised and what that child thought about all of this. That's what's so confusing about it.
I believe.
Yes,
and
children
let me,
are looking for a home. They want a place to live and all of that.
Hold on. You made some interesting points. I believe in the testimony before the two legislative committees, there were individuals that talked about that were same-sex couples that talked about their children and their homes. Jennifer Wagner with Freedom Indiana. Am I correct in that?
Yes, there were. There were a number of couples who talked about their kids who were either born biologically or adopted into those families. And I got to be honest, they're not any different than my family. I'm, straight girl, married, two kids, and they're not any different.
Is it fair to say that if the legislature had allowed an extra day of testimony for either side in this, that they would have had an opportunity for maybe some older children or some teenagers to come and testify to the point the caller is talking about?
Well, I'll be honest. We had folks who did have older kids who wanted to speak on behalf of Freedom Indiana, but oftentimes, first, we didn't want to put them up in front of the legislature, knowing that they might get questions and that it might be a difficult situation for them. But, look, kids need love. Kids need families. And we've kind of gone a little bit astray from talking about the amendment itself. But, they're families. And this amendment would hurt, Hoosier couples in loving, committed relationships. It would hurt Hoosier families. And our vantage point, there's no sense in putting this stuff in our Constitution. It's not needed.
Let me go. I appreciate it, Anonymous. Let me go to another Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Who would have thought that in this generation, in this age, that oppression, we were still oppressing people? The guy, he talks about Americans, it's about, this is not what we do. Well, it's in our DNA. If we wanted to, most of the arguments that are posed against gay marriage are like the same arguments. The type of arguments that were opposed against African Americans having freedom, being freed of the Emancipation Proclamation. You can go to the Civil Rights Act. I mean, these are the same type of things. And if you are a Christian, which I am, it's like you know that Jesus taught the thought of acceptance. I'm not going to go on that Christian route. But it's hard, very difficult for a person to not put religion inside of a topic like this. It's because it goes along with our morals and our values. That's all I have to say.
I appreciate it. Let me go to another Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. How are you?
I'm fine.
Great. I just wanted to say, Amos, I like to marry my dog. I mean, my dog's a part of my family. My dog is deeply, appreciated. And so why come we can't get a minute where people get married at their pets, their dogs? I mean, how far is this thing going to go? It's like, you're going to keep doing things to the point where, where is it going to stop?
So you honestly believe that defeating this amendment would allow people to do something so absurd that Saturday Night Live wouldn't even have a sketch about it? You really believe that?
I believe if they went and wrote and read about Lot and his wife in the city.
I didn't ask. No. I didn't ask about Lot. I asked, did you honestly believe that voting against this amendment that is already in Indiana law, that marriage is between a man and a woman? And I believe that there is nowhere in this world where any marriage is not between a human being. Between two human beings, is show me a country where you can get married to a non-human being.
Well, the thing is, what I'm pointing
no,
out.
No, don't get. Is does that, does any does that exist? Hold on, hold on. Does that exist anywhere in the world?
Human beings.
Where?
Do they not?
No.
They're on health insurance now. You can put your animal on your job health insurance.
No, you can't. Wait. No, you can't. Come on. Where? Give me an example.
They have pet insurance.
No, don't give me. They
take out on your animal through.
That's not that's not health insurance. That's not health insurance by a company.
No, it's not by a company, but it offers health insurance.
No, you're mixing you're mixing apples and pomegranates, and you're getting off the way that allow me to talk to Miss B at 239-1310. Hi there, Miss B.
How's your guest?
I'm fine.
Amos, the people that's calling in, none of them understand the amendment. They don't understand it. All they're doing is thinking about the religious part, and they if they understood it, they wouldn't be talking the way they're doing. I know there's a fine line between religion and everything, but the amendment, if they read it and understood it, they wouldn't be talking and saying the things that they're saying. I had a gay cousin, and he, you know, if he wanted to marry, that was his business, as far as I was concerned. But I think that these people that's calling in, all they got on their mind is religion, and it's not, this amendment is not religiously made.
All right, good point, my sister. Let me go to Popcorn Willie at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going?
Fine.
I just got in on the butt end of the conversation. I heard one of your callers say that this is the same as the civil rights movement. How do you even compare those two? Now, if people want to marry each other, of course I'm against it. Okay, I'm against it. But if you want to marry who you want to marry. It ain't bothering me none. But the fact is, how can they decide that if they want to do that, that they're supposed to go up under the cover of the civil rights movement? How does that get together like that?
You know, that's a good question. And I'm not sure the answer to that. I do know that part of the discussion deals with the 14th Amendment, which originally was placed in the Constitution to protect everyone's rights after the Civil War. And so and a lot of the gains of the civil rights movement were built around enforcement of the federal 14th Amendment, which is equal protection under the law. And those same equal protections under the law affected the women's rights movement. So I think that's where the whole civil rights thing has come. But I heard a discussion last night in listening to a little bit of the hearing. Before the committee. And one of the things I think people forget, we know, and I know, caller, you know of people who were abused, hung, lynched, etc., during the civil rights movement, right?
Right. I know some, and some of them was in my family back down in Tennessee.
There was a gentleman, I believe was either in Wyoming or Utah. I got a mental block on it. Matthew Shepard, who was bound and drugged behind a truck because he was gay. And that, you know, now that's not a lynching in the sense of African Americans remembering what a lynching was. But that's still a, you know, being disrespected because of people didn't like who you were. So I think that's why some people think there's a civil rights aspect to it. But I know a lot of people in our community know the heroes and sheroes of the African-American civil rights movement that's been going on ever since they brought us here against our will. And that is a longer and richer and more bloodier history than either the women's rights movement or either the gay rights movement. So I understand where you're coming from on that.
Okay, well, I'll do a little bit more research on this because I'm a little bit begobbled right now. I mean, if you want to marry, man, who do you want to marry? Go marry a popsicle or whatever. I mean, as long as you ain't bothering me, I'm cool.
Well, don't tell the previous caller because he was upset about the dog. he'll really go crazy about a popsicle. Anyway, 239-1310, 239-1310. We'll take a break. We'll be back with our many moments. It's Afternoons with Amos after this. Welcome back. 239-1310, 239. Oh, tomorrow, my Friday friend will be here in our first half hour. We will talk to, remember the Who's Your Millionaire TV show? They're bringing it back with the original hosts. So live in studio, Mark Patrick, Tony Lamont, and Barbara Hobbs. Oh, Lord. And then the rest of the time, we'll talk about other stuff, including what I'm finding out about disparate justice. How many times have young African-American males been caught joyriding in a car with either a suspended driver's license or no driver's license and end up in jail for weeks. Yet Justin Bieber, we just found out, had no driver's license when he was pulled over for DUI and reckless driving, and they're going to let him out of jail? Oh, I want to see Abdul defend this one. That's tomorrow. That's what everybody really want to talk about. 239-1310, let's talk about something serious, and that is marriage. Let me go to Anonymous. Hi there.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air. What's up?
Okay, how are you doing?
I'm fine.
I just want to say, you know, this topic is very serious. What it does is it will have an impact on the whole nation, if not the whole world, because you know as well as I do, the laws are not really governed by man, but by really the Lord. And he established it by saying, "Thou shall not lay with mankind or womankind." So that is in Leviticus 18. And so as a result of that, you know as well as I do, the Twin City, when Sodom and Gomorrah got destroyed, it wasn't based upon it just didn't happen. He gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things that they want to do, and then it resulted to the judgment. So that being said, he will give you your heart's desire eventually if the nation, like, for example, the nation wants to, you know, start using reefer. So eventually the nation wants to say, hey, it's okay with homosexual marriage. So eventually what does it may not have an impact on the individual, but as the nation or as this world as a whole, it really builds up God's judgment.
All right, caller, let me ask a couple questions. Is there something scriptural that prohibits the use of reefer?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. It's just like when it comes to, because you know as well I do, as well as I do, it is a plant that God created. Just like if you notice, like I tell any or everyone, it's not a problem with drinking, but it's what happens is, I mean, I'm talking about a child of God, but it's when they do it in excess.
I got it. Right.
That's what happens.
Right. And the other question, the other question is scripture, particularly in the Old Testament, prohibited divorce. Should we then have a constitutional amendment prohibiting divorce?
Well, did you look in the book of in the New Testament where Moses wrote a decree of divorce to the people that wanted it because of the fact that it was their hearts that wanted. God gave them that right to do that because it was their hearts that would not change. In other words,
and that was New Testament, correct?
That's a New Testament. And ultimately what happens is it's like this. See, God is against divorce, but because of man's heart, he allows him and permits him to do it because he gave them their own heart's desire.
So wait a minute. So if God gave Moses and the heart's desire and man's heart's desire to do divorce, then why wouldn't in a civil union, two human beings who love each other could get together in a civil union that's not sanctioned by the church?
Okay, I'll give you an answer for that. Because you know as well as I do, you have people of the faith, you have some people of the faith that says nothing, it's okay to be homosexual and okay to marry. But what you have here is, Amos, is this. See, it all goes back to a man's heart's desire. Do you remember in the scripture where God brought the children of Israel out of the hand of the
enemy?
And so
it is the government's responsibility to enforce religious law?
No, what I'm saying is this, and I'll make it clear. God gives man
free will,
the free choice to whether I would to decide whether or not if they want to be governed by him. In other words, to add his, you know, you have man's law, then you have God's law.
Okay, I get all of that. So if we're talking about man's law, then on this whole marriage thing, why should man's law match God's law? since this is man's law?
I'll tell you why. Because in the New Testament and in the Old Testament as well, it says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and everything that dwells therein. So that being said, meaning everything that dwells therein, we are creatures when it comes to God.
All right, good points. I'm not trying to cut you off because I don't like what you're saying and I don't appreciate what you're saying. I do appreciate what you're saying, but I'm running short of time. Let me go to Jack right quick at 239-1310. Hi, Jack.
All right. I'd like to make three short points.
Very short. Hit
very
it.
Short. First one is let us vote on it. Mm-hmm. Number two, why shouldn't you let us vote? What's the fear? And the third one is if we don't vote on this amendment, then we'll put it in the hands of a judge somewhere down the line who can strike down Indiana's permanent law we have today and make it where we'll wish we had a vote.
Let me give the people the opportunity
to voice their opinion.
All right, I don't disagree with that, but you do realize that if the people vote on it and it passes, it can still be ruled unconstitutional by the federal courts, including the U.S. Supreme Court. You do realize that.
I realize that, but the population would at least say, hey, I did vote, other than letting people do as they choose without actually having a say.
Should people be allowed to vote in a public vote that takes people's rights away?
Yes. Why not?
We should have had a vote. We should have had a vote during slavery, where the white majority could have taken away our rights and put us back into slavery. Correct?
About slavery. This is about an amendment that they want to.
This is an amendment. You could have an amendment repealing slavery or bringing slavery back.
That's hypothetical. I mean,
no, it's not hypothetical. It's real.
To vote on this. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
And if it's so bad, I mean, let the majority of the people decided. That's how our laws are all made up.
Intellectually, I agree with you. I wish we could have had a referendum on right to work. I wish we could have had a referendum on the rights they took away from residents of Marion County in that horrendous bill last year that took away our at-large city county councilors. I didn't hear you call up the radio and say, let's have a vote on that. I don't remember you calling up and saying, let's have a vote on right to work. I agree with you. We should have had a vote on all those other things that were taken away from us. So if we're going to have a vote on marriage, you need to support me on having a vote on some of this other stuff. Let's have a vote on raising the minimum wage. Will you agree with me on that, sir?
I would.
You would?
Yes.
I'm with you. Then call Speaker Bosman. Tell him that. Do that for me, my brother.
Okay.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
All righty. Ashley's got the last word. Hi, Ashley. Real quick.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
Very good. Well, I just want to say, one, I'm adopted, so I'm very thankful for that of the open hands, love, and guidance is given. Keyword is love. With that, I am a child of God. I may not choose to have a partner of the same sex, but I do know the doctrine that's been given in my life and in the intrinsic values is that God loves the sinner but hates the sin. So we cannot judge as far as that other aspect as far as who someone wants to love. Love is also that universal sign that everyone as human beings feels, we know. So where are we in right to judge who is going to give someone intrinsic values to develop growth, to give that love? And that even goes down to the federal guidelines of the pursuit of happiness. That's quality of life. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So, you know, in short, I say let an individual love who they are and embrace that and allow that to be one for others in our community that are suffering to maybe look within themselves and see
I hate to cut you off, but I've run out of time. That's a great, great point. I appreciate it. Thank you, Megan Robertson, Angela Smith Jones, and Jennifer Wagner with Freedom Indiana. Their website is freedomindiana.org. Freedomindiana.org. Guys, thanks very much for being with us. Tomorrow, the Hoosier Millionaire Originals will be here. That's exciting enough. And all other sort of stuff. I'm Amos Brown. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow live at 1.